Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, John Solomon joins our program, and we talk about two shocking stories about parents' rights that are being thwarted. The Parents' Party and John Solomon, and also some voter fraud news that very well might be a game changer. That and so much more. If you want to email us your thoughts, you could do so by emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing every single day. And get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. At Turning Point USA, we are making hope happen. Start high school chapters, start college chapters, get engaged, get involved. If you have a church or a pastor that wants to get involved, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Get involved today. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Who's in charge? That's a question that we've been asking ourselves collectively and also individually. Who's in charge of our country? Who's in charge of your child's education? Who works for who? Now, the United States Constitution, the greatest political document ever written, says very clearly the people are the sovereign and that rulers need to be representatives. That people in charge should not act as if they are a ruling class, but instead of representative body. Big difference. Now, there is an extraordinary piece here I want to walk through, and it's not something that's a mistake. So a lot of times when you hear one of these outrageous stories and someone gets caught in the midst of this, they'll say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I got caught off on a hot mic. I was taken out of context. All these different sorts of excuses that are used. There's this incredible op-ed that was written by Richard Robinson. You've probably never heard of him before. I hadn't either until this story came out. He is a school board member on the York Suburban School District Board. That is in York County, Pennsylvania. Now, I know York County better than most. It is not a suburb of Philadelphia. It's out about a little bit west of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's in a more rural part of Pennsylvania. It's about an hour and a half north of Baltimore, is where York is. And not far from Harrisburg, the state capital. Well, this school board member, Richard Robinson, wrote a op-ed, an opinion piece. He said, "No, I do not work for you, parents." York Suburban School District board member Richard Robinson wrote an op-ed. He said that the ability to be able to show up to school board meetings is the following. The provision gives residents of a school district the chance to vent their spleens about exorbitant taxes or demand subjects be taught properly the way they were during the most frigid period of the Civil War. In the past, more often than not, nobody showed up. But not these days, as social media outlets and national news broadcasts and our local newspapers tell us, school boards are now the new battleground in the fight for America's future. Amen, they are. This bothers Richard Robinson. He says, parents who show up and give public comment have, quote, the collective intelligence of a village idiot. Now, remember, this guy wrote this. It's not some mistake. It's not some caught on camera mic. No, he wrote this in an opinion piece. Some members of my community, here I said, my community, appear to interpret this part of broad board meetings as the occasion to tell board members why they have the collective intelligence of a village idiot and how the school district ought to be addressing real problems. He continues by saying, far too many elected officials have shown over the past 2 years that the consent of the governed is a little more than an inconvenient speed bump on the road to advancing their unpopular agendas. Mocking and dismissing the conservative community may be cathartic for petty dictators, but it's not a path to electoral success. This is what Nicole Neely said in response to Richard Robinson. She said that, and she runs the Parents Defending Education. This article continues, Richard Robinson, by saying, "With all due respect to the men and women who come up to me and say, I'm a taxpayer, you work for me. Robinson, the school board member, says, no, I don't work for you. I was elected by the people who voted to represent you. What? No, so I don't work for you. I was elected by the people who voted to represent you. So where does the money come from, Mr. Robinson? Richard Robinson says, do parents always know what is best for their kids? No, they don't. Nevertheless, if you are offended because I don't think parents are infallible, then you can always sue or take your child out of school. Your choice. A lot of parents are. Homeschooling is going to double this year. We just had a recent podcast with Lee Bortons from Classical Conversations. I encourage all of you guys to listen to the podcast and get your kids and grandkids out of public school immediately. It's destroying their life. Robinson wrote, quote, parents who claim that health and safety measures are damaging to children's mental health to justify their own social agenda are the most offensive and vile of all. There are members of this community who try to draw attention to the warning signs of increasing mental distress among our children long before you ever thought of mental health as a potential cudgel. To listen to your repeated distortions of the facts is nauseating. Very clearly, I don't work for you. Now, why are we spending time on this? Well, this in York, Pennsylvania, which is predominantly a rural town, you have a school board member telling parents you are not in charge. And this is really going to be a deciding moment for millions of families across the country, which is, who has sovereignty over your children? Who's in charge? If it's this bad in York, Pennsylvania, just think how bad it is in New York or Philadelphia or Los Angeles. This is York, Pennsylvania, Santa Barbara, San Francisco, San Jose, Austin, Texas. They're not hiding their radicalism anymore. Do you notice that development recently? That they are wearing it on their sleeve. Come on, parents. It's not like you're in charge. You know, it's really interesting. Democrats used to camouflage their radicalism through poll-tested soundbites and cushy one-liners and approved bumper stickers. Now they do the opposite. Now they just say exactly what they believe and let the consequences fall where they may. Well, if you don't work for the parents, who do you work for then? That's a good question. It's not to the voters, because the parents are the voters. It's not to the children. No, they work for the state. You see, people like Richard Robinson, who writes this op-ed, again, not some sort of off-the-cuff remark, not some sort of thing he regrets that he said. Instead, this is a thoughtful op-ed. By thoughtful, I mean he thought it through. Good. You don't write things like this by mistake. He published it. He peer-edited it, I'm sure. And he says, no, I don't work for you. Well, parents, you should be insulted, offended, and compelled by this sort of language. But I do appreciate his honesty. I appreciate the honesty because they are so arrogant, they don't even try to sugarcoat anymore. That should be a fire alarm for a lot of our parents listening right now. If you send your child to public school, very few school board members will be as explicit or will be as clear as Richard Robinson. But it does beg the question, how many school board members believe this? They just aren't willing to write. I mean, this guy's obviously disturbed and deranged to write this into a op-ed, but I'm sure there are thousands of school board members across the country that hold this view. Thousands. Parents, I don't work for you. With all due respect to the men and women who snarl, I'm a taxpayer, you work for me. No, I don't work for you. If we are serious about retaking the country, if we're serious about stopping the Great Reset, if we're serious about reinstituting the Constitution, the citizen must be clear that the people who are in temporary positions of power, you are a representative. You are not a ruler. Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's the perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you, they hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs. My friends, guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. There was Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com, or call 888-888-1172, 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. Use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. So there is a looming drama that's happening right now in Loudoun County, and I'm going to tell you my take on it, what I think is going to happen next. Loudoun County, of course, is the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and was the epicenter of Virginia going from deep blue to all of a sudden red, thanks to the successful race and candidacy of Glenn Youngkin. Now, Glenn Youngkin has been surprising a lot of people. I got to give him credit. He signed some phenomenal executive orders on his first day in office, and he also set up a tip line for parents and students to be able to send in tips of bias and outrageous behavior that is occurring in their local schools. Now, let me just make a prediction. The left wingers, the activists, they're going to flood these tip lines with such spam. It's going to be almost overwhelm the system. And I don't know how long that's actually going to hold. But after a week of sending students to auditoriums, libraries, and gyms for not masking in schools, Loudoun County principals are telling students like Nicholas Sanchez they'll be suspended if they don't comply with the school's mask mandate. Now, this is a looming fight right now for Glenn Youngkin, because Glenn Youngkin signed an executive order on optional masking. Now, why parents have this possessive focus on trying to make sure children have masks on is really creepy and dark. It's that simple. It's creepy and it's dark. And you know they actually don't believe it themselves. A unrelated but totally related story is a tangent is Gavin Newsom was at SoFi Stadium watching the Rams-Niners game, not wearing a mask at all, yet he makes it a point to make sure the children of California have to wear masks all day long in school. He doesn't actually believe his own nonsense. Of course not. We've known that for a while. I mean, there was an attempt to get rid of Newsom and after the French Laundry deal, and that attempt was unsuccessful. He's still governor, but I still supported it nevertheless. California's in its own world. Glenn Youngkin's executive order on optional masking went into effect. Frustrated, Loudoun County parents take over school board meeting, many upset over masks. The Platt families, two elementary school boys and middle schooler, didn't mask last week either, and they were issued formal warnings at the end of the school week, and they had a meeting with school administrators. This is what they were told by their kids' school. Quote, if they come on Wednesday and they defy that and they do not comply, then they will be issued a trespassing order. I haven't heard that from other schools, but it elevates things. Mrs. Platt, their mother, says, you've been warned. If you come, you'll be physically removed from the property. There's a lot of tense emotion in that room. It was no joke. It seems silly that they'd threaten a first grader or hang college over their head. The father, John Platt, says, as a family, we'll discuss that because these kids take that pressure differently, especially the little one. To the Platt family, let me just say, please take your kids out of school. This is not worth it. It's child abuse. It's social abuse. It's emotional abuse. If your child is still going to a school or an institution that mandates a mask, you must have a really good reason to keep them there. Or maybe you think that masking is just fine, despite the fact that stuttering, speech development issues, IQ development, depression, anxiety are all on the rise that can have direct correlations and connections with mandatory mask wearing. And that's not my own data or my own interpretation. Dr. Mark McDonald, author of United States of Fear, came on this program last week and said exactly that. 7 News has seen letters from Loudoun County school principals that say students who are suspended for not masking may return to school, but only when they agree to follow COVID mitigation measures throughout the entire school day. No accommodations for natural immunity. Not to mention, these are children. They do not have any sort of significant risk of even having a serious case, let alone dying from the Fauci Chinese coronavirus. There's something at play here, and it's pathological, it's creepy, it's dark, of parents that are so obsessed over making sure children wear masks. And by the way, I hate to go here, but I will. It's not a mystery that Magic Johnson is immunocompromised. I mean, is Gavin Newsom like super spreading to an AIDS patient? I'm not making fun of the fact that Magic Johnson has AIDS. It's well documented he does. I wish him well with that. I've actually always kind of liked Magic Johnson. Is he pretty political? I never, somewhat. He's probably center left. Obviously, if he likes Gavin Newsom, he's pretty political. But yeah, he's not. I agree. Andrew said he's not that political. I'm a Magic fan. I always have been. I think he was a good athlete and a relatively okay person. But he wasn't. He's not an activist like LeBron. LeBron is much more political than Magic Johnson. But why parents put up with this in the first place, I don't know. But I am given hope that parents are starting to push back against this. There's a looming fight in Virginia. We're going to keep our eye on it. Of the governor's executive order and defiant schools and upset parents. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again with his My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long, and made with MyPillow foam and impact gel help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. So look, it's towels, blankets, comforters. You know Mike Lindell. He's great. It also supports our show. So if you want to get a good night's rest and you're like, hey, I got to buy a couple pillows, or I need some more blankets, I'm moving in, I got rid of some, or the dog, you know, destroyed some blankets. MyPillow.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show and Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk. Don't forget, promo code Kirk helps us out. God bless you guys. We have an amazing guest on to discuss a bombshell story that is really making headlines amongst many other things. He is the founder and the editor-in-chief of JustTheNews.com and has a new show on Real America's Voice, America's Voice News, you guys can watch. John Solomon, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
God, thank you so much. We had our first edition last night and a big one again tonight where we're going to break some news. And so glad to join you. Congratulations with your great show. I love coming on here.
Thank you. It's terrific. So, John, there's a story that is being sent all around. I had 4 or 5 people text it to me this morning, and it's trending on social media, which is all about this Biden boomerang. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So the story of Ukraine impeachment, which, by the way, was 2 years ago this month that the president's first impeachment trial ended with acquittal. That was all about Ukraine. The story that Democrats, the mainstream media, and the security establishment gave us in that is going the route of Russia collusion. It's going in reversal. Why? Because we've been winning some lawsuits, fighting for documents, and we're finding out that the storyline that the State Department, the national security agencies, and the Democratic media gave us was wrong. And let's just remind people what it was. I wrote a series of stories in The Hill back in 2019 saying Joe Biden fired the prosecutor in Ukraine that was investigating his son's company. That's not in doubt. Burisma was under investigation. The prosecutor was fired. Joe Biden admits he did it. And the story was that prosecutor deserved to be fired, according to the State Department, because he was inept, incompetent, maybe even corrupt. That's what people said in sworn testimony. That prosecutor's name is Viktor Shokin. I interviewed him at the time, and he said, hey, listen, I wasn't corrupt, and the United States never complained to me at all. They told me I was doing a good job. So we tried to check that story up. For 2.5 years, we fought a lawsuit. We recently got a document. What does it show? That in the summer of 2015, as Joe Biden was starting the process to fire the prosecutor overseeing the investigation of his son's company, the State Department, John Kerry, Victoria Nuland, Jeffrey Pyatt, some of the witnesses we saw, told him he was doing a great job. In fact, they said they were impressed. That's a direct quote from this document, with his anti-corruption efforts. And that effort to evaluate him went on through the summer and fall. And in the October, all of the agencies of the United States government said he had made enough progress that the Ukraine should get $1 billion in new American loan guarantees. So everything was going fine. So then what happened? a story came out in the New York Times that said Joe Biden was going to visit Ukraine in December 2015, his son's business, his association with a corrupt Ukraine company, it made headlines in the New York Times and embarrassed Joe Biden. And then that's when the Obama administration decided to fire that prosecutor. We've now unraveled the truth, and we found out that what Adam Schiff told us 2 years ago wasn't true.
Well, and it's traveling. The story's traveling with great velocity. I also think because of the new Ukraine news, right? And the question is whether or not the Biden family has been co-opted by yet another foreign country. And the whole kind of impeachment hoax was intentional. You know, 2020, they wanted to impeach Donald Trump early, and then COVID came and it changed all of our voting laws, which I do want to ask you about. And so this only kind of plays further into the Burisma question and Hunter Biden's involvement in Ukraine. Walk us through that.
So, listen, I think there's a second storyline. And tonight at Just the News, we're going to break another big story. This is a classified document. It was classified by the State Department, not because it has any national secrets in it, but because it protected Joe Biden by putting classification on it. The story that Adam Schiff and the Democrats and the Washington Post and the mainstream media gave us 2 years ago was that, Hunter Biden's role at Burisma, a corrupt gas company, while Joe Biden was overseeing fighting corruption in Ukraine, it created the appearance of a conflict of interest, but it never impacted any U.S. policies. That was the storyline that we're going to give you a document tonight. It's classified. It's going to go public. And in that document, it states clearly that Hunter Biden and his role at Burisma, it actually undercut the entire anti-corruption activities of the United States. It blames Hunter Biden for undercutting U.S. policy in Ukraine. It debunks the testimony. And the only reason this document was classified was to protect Joe Biden during the 2020 election.
Well, and there are serious questions of whether or not whether or not Joe Biden is meddling into the current investigations of his son and his family. Sure. And I mean, you had people, I mean, just think back. You had Jeff Sessions, who is forced to recuse himself, I don't think ever should have, because of some Russia thing. And you literally have Hunter Biden's bank, who has just subpoenaed J.P. Morgan because of his connections to China, and all of these questions that just continue to swirl around that. So, John, I want to also ask you, you guys have done a great job covering this at justthenews.com. Also, there's a new movie that's coming out with Dinesh D'Souza, 2000 Mules, and you've been involved in helping cover this and helping publicize this. Tell us about what we think might be in this movie. I don't want to try to tip the hand too much. I'm actually going to be with Dinesh tomorrow. I'm going to see the footage myself. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so there is a complaint pending in the state of Georgia before Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. He says the information is credible and deserves to be investigated. That complaint alleges, it comes from True the Vote, an election expert, a conservative election expert named Catherine Engelbrecht. They obtained the video footage for all those drop boxes that were distributed for the first time in the 2020 election. Before 2020, we didn't use drop boxes to deliver votes. But they put all these boxes out, often in unsecure areas. And the only thing we had for protection was video surveillance cameras. Catherine's group went and got those video surveillance cameras. And what they show, what they appear to show, is people walking in the dead of night. When I mean the dead of night, I mean midnight to 5 a.m., dropping in large stacks of ballots into the ballot boxes. Why is that a problem? It looks like ballot box stuffing is what we would have called it in the old days of Tammany Hall. Well, in 2021, it's called harvesting. You are not allowed under Georgia law or Arizona law, Wisconsin law, Michigan law, to gather other people's ballots and deliver them for them. The person themselves has to go and deliver it. The only exception is for your immediate family. You can take your wife or your children to their ballots with you when you go. Any stranger, it's illegal. It's called harvesting. In Arizona, they've begun prosecuting people for this. Well, these videos show what appeared to be harvesting, but Catherine's group went further. They went and got one of the people who participated in this scheme to admit he did it and describe the large network of people, 242 people were told, that he described who participated this in Georgia, both during the general election, where Joe Biden allegedly defeated Donald Trump, and then in the runoff where the Democrats won the two seats and captured the United States Senate, that there were 242 people making regular trips delivering these ballots. Brad Raffensperger is about to issue subpoenas through the State Elections Board to secure this evidence, and he's opened a major investigation. That's remarkable in itself, because it was Brad Raffensperger that originally went on 60 Minutes saying the Georgia election was perfect. Now he has some serious doubts about that claim.
Well, and that Gabe Sterling guy, that's his name, right? That contractor, that weirdo. You remember him talking about? He kept on going on television.
Going back a little bit, right? Yeah.
And he was so insistent, and he was so hyper aggressive about how perfect the election was. So 242 people, John, let's be conservative. Let's say that it was 50 to 100 ballots each
because
they made multiple stops. Now, another piece of information that is very important is that on video, time and time again, you see them taking pictures of the ballots.
Yeah.
Now, why would they take pictures of the ballots, John? Maybe to get paid.
Well, that's it. We know for sure because the John Doe witness, this witness that was cooperating, the whistleblower, we call him, told Catherine's group that they got paid $10 a ballot. And the way they assured they got paid is they would take themselves at the box where they were delivering the ballots. They'd take a picture to make sure they show they went to the right box and delivered the ballots to the right box. And so if the whistleblower is telling the truth and if these videos show what we think they show, in fact, that would be further evidence of this harvesting scheme. And it's very important to remind your viewers this. The Democrats tried to legalize harvesting. They wanted harvesting legal in 2020. They sued in Arizona. They sued in Georgia. They lost both cases. The Arizona case, in fact, made its way all the way to the United States Supreme Court. They wanted harvesting legal. Now the question is, when they couldn't get it legalized, did they do it in a surreptitious way or did some rogue operatives put together an operation? That's what Brad Raffensperger has to resolve for the American public with this investigation he started.
Well, we could speculate. I can probably go a little bit further on that than you can. I think this was totally an organized operation. You know, John, we did these live streams the night of the election, night after, for about a week and a half. We had all the boards of all the different weird things. And we speculated this was like an Ozark election. It was ballot laundering. And that's certainly what it looks like. We were one of the first shows to use that phrase because it didn't make any sense. And I want everyone to understand that you have the reaction to the Chinese coronavirus. You lock down the country and you change our voting laws. So Georgia goes from 248,000 mail-in ballots to 1.2 million mail-in ballots, which include ballots that were sent to multiple addresses, to phantom voters and all of that. And if, John, there was an organization that was incentivized to not just turn in ballots, but potentially, we don't have evidence for this yet, but to go scoop up ballots and fill them in or pay people for their ballots, whatever they might be. I come from Chicago, so I'm very cynical with this sort of stuff.
Of course.
I mean,
they
perfected the model.
You should be.
And then now you have this footage. And I just want to give credit to Katherine Engelbrecht from True the Vote. I've known her for a very long time, almost 10 years.
She does good work.
And her whole team. And also you, John, you've done an incredible job covering it. And Dinesh D'Souza, I think there's going to be more kind of momentum behind that. I think this is so important. And there's so many questions. And we want to get answers. But at the very least, at the very minimum, this breaks the law. That's what we know. We know that it was illegally done unless these people turning in ballots have like 2,500 children.
That's right.
That would be the
only way.
You'd have
to have a very large family to justify this.
Yeah. And it's not Minneapolis. So how's your new year going so far? Pretty good, I hope. But it's been tough, hasn't it? Lots of us have begun to wake up and smell the roses. And some of us have smelt coffee instead. All of us are now realizing how quick time is rushing past. You're that much closer to retirement and that much closer to not earning. But in the meantime, you've got some catching up to do. With crypto and markets very risky right now, and inflation running anywhere between 8 to 20%, and conservatively it's 8%, where are you going to keep your money to keep up and beat it? You might want to talk to an expert at Noble Gold and run through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, and no call centers. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 of an ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan that you start. So just speak to someone who knows what they're talking about for once. How good would that feel? Call us at 877-646-5347 or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. So, John, tell us, where can people find your show? When does it air? It's Real America's Voice. Tell us about that.
Yeah, really excited about this. So Real America's Voice is on lots of platforms. If you have Dish Satellite, it's on channel 219. If you have Pluto, if you're a fan of Pluto, it's on channel 240. It's on the Samsung TV, smart televisions. It's on the Real America's Voice app. You can watch it on the Just the News app. lots of different ways. It is, I call it the Fox News for the cable cutting generation. Yeah, it is a fast moving network with a lot of conversation, two-way conversation with the viewers. And every night there and every day, there's tremendous programs going on. My program happens to air at 6 o'clock right after Steve Bannon's second show of the day. I have a great co-host, Amanda Head, the Hollywood conservative. A lot of people will remember her from her work on that website. She's my co-host. And every night, our goal is just to go out and break news. We're not going to give you a monologue. We're not going to give you any of our opinions because no one cares about my opinion. We're going to give you news and facts so you can go to the water cooler dinner table and the boardroom and be informed and give people facts that we've been able to provide you. So very excited. Day one was a really fun. We broke this Ukraine story. Tonight, we're going to break the second half of the Ukraine story with this classified document and a lot more to come in the weeks ahead.
Well, congratulations. It's a fast-growing network. It really is in a variety of different ways. So I want to ask you a somewhat obvious question. Why didn't they delete the tapes of all of these ballot harvesters? Were they forbidden by law?
Well, that's a great question. It appears that some were deleted because there are several counties that now say they no longer have them. Now, under federal law, anything having to do with a federal election is supposed to be retained for 22 months. So they should all exist. But recently, several of the counties told Just the News they no longer have these tapes. Fortunately, Catherine went and got them early in the process at True the Vote, Catherine Engelbrecht. And so she got the documents before they could be destroyed or deleted. There is some dispute. The counties are confused. Some counties say they have it. Some say they don't. Fulton County says they're missing theirs. Fortunately, Catherine got a lot of these before they were deleted. And it just took a long time. You're talking about millions of minutes of security surveillance footage that had to be reviewed. She did a great job. And this complaint, to his credit, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is taking this very seriously. The subpoenas, which could come as early as next week, will be the next development in that investigation.
No, this is really something. But there was also a provision that required videotaping of these drop boxes. Is that correct?
They did.
Which was actually a positive wrinkle in all of this.
Brad Raffensperger actually secured that as part of a deal to allow these out there. Here's the history on this. There's been a lot of misinformation. Georgia law allowed for drop boxes going back to 1974. So they always allowed. They just never were used. The pandemic gave the Democrats an excuse to request them. They were distributed. And as part of the agreement to distribute them, Brad Raffensperger and his team and the state elections board insisted that surveillance cameras be put on them. And it's the footage that led the process of now uncovering what appears to be a harvesting ring. We'll see where the facts end up after the investigators are done.
And here's my frustration, John, and I'm glad that Raffensperger's getting into gear, is that between the election and the special election, you very well could have had an effort to say, wait a second, let's just look at all this tape for unusual activity, right?
Yeah.
So that there, you could have just audited some of the tape. I get it's millions of minutes, but like, hey, let's just look between 12 and 5.
You're right.
There could have been a commission or an effort, and it could have been like, let's slow down. Hold on a second. Is there anything to this? And here's why, is that if what the overarching allegation is correct, 242 mules, let's say 100 ballots each, I'm no math major, that's 24,000 votes, right? Which very well could have been the difference between Purdue. And who knows if they're all Democrat or all Republican. I think we all know which way they tilt, right? Because these were in heavy Democrat areas. You could correct me if I'm wrong. Urban areas, Fulton County, Cobb County.
That's what the witness said.
Yeah, they were heavy Democrat areas. But all of a sudden, between that November and January 5th election, right? That's 2 months. All of a sudden, somebody was like, wait, hold on, time out. There's this weird spike in visits at 3:30 in the morning, and the same person kept on dropping it off. Now, that would have been super helpful in a variety of different reasons, right, John?
Two very important things. Yes, it's a legitimate criticism. Raffensperger's team never looked at it. And two, last spring, Brian Kemp, the governor, was given this information. He turned it away. Two legitimate criticisms of Republicans running Georgia.
Well, and David Perdue's doing very well, I think, because of that. And David Perdue is Trump's endorsement, former senator. And I think David Perdue's kind of upset because he knows that he lost for a lot of reasons, but definitely this one might have been part of it. But Catherine Engelbrecht, John Solomon, and so many deserve our thanks. Congratulations on the new show, John. Love to have you back.
Thanks, Charlie.
When you want to break news, you're always welcome here, truly. So,
I love it. It's a great venue. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support our show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.